up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, March 30th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined as always by Eric Bickle. Johnny Cakes Allville's here.
I think I'm on, but I'm not 100% sure.
You are. And Jason Bishop in Ashburn.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Looks like we got some mic issues with EB. It seemed like it was Cakes who was having issues right before the show.
I was.
EB, are you with us there in Kensington?
No, he's having a little bit of issue. Your boy was scrambling with Valdez and Drab like right up until about 30 seconds before the mics went live.
Yeah. Well, why does that live. Happen on a Monday? Why does
I don't know.
On a Monday that
we were not live sure. This weekend, and we are back live this Monday morning. Should mention on the show today, J.P. Finley is going to join us. Covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Little Redskins news. They signed another corner.
So yeah, PG County boy, Ronald Darby out of Potomac High School in Oxon Hill.
Going to be a very different secondary for the Redskins as they got rid of Quentin Dunbar and Josh Norman, and now they brought in Ronald Darby to join in the secondary. And also on the show today, Tal Alter is going to join us. He's the CEO of the National Philanthropies and Youth Baseball Academy. Of course, we would be at the start of the baseball season. I was thinking about this, just perspective, as the weekend crawled by. Because I had an issue during the show on Saturday morning I did with Jason where my wife started vomiting. And she, like, was really, really affected. This lasted for well over an hour and had to kind of scramble and quarantine her, sanitize that room, quarantine. You know, she was spiraling. I don't think she has coronavirus. She doesn't have a cough. And she doesn't have a high fever, which are two of the main symptoms. And didn't really have shortness of breath. But she was down for the count, and maybe down for the count still, because she was basically bedridden all day yesterday. So it was kind of a hectic weekend, but I was thinking about this. A month ago, I went to college game day at the University of Maryland.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we all hopped on a plane to Florida to go cover the Nationals at spring training.
Yeah, both activities.
That feels, like 6 months ago.
Those activities seem so foreign at this point. Yeah. I mean, you were at college game day with probably, I don't know, 5,000, 7,000 people in the stands at Xfinity. And right, then we're traveling.
And you were just thinking, hey, the Terps, they might be a 2 seed. Well, a 3 seed. You were kind of like fired up thinking about college hoops. March Madness was coming up in a couple of weeks. And then we all hop on the bird and go to Florida. And we're thinking about the Nationals. And while we're there, we interview Davey Martinez and Max Scherzer and get
Patrick
to know
Corbin.
Thames, the new first baseman. He was a good dude. And we're having a good time. We go to the woods. And it's a lifetime ago.
It really is.
Yeah, it's just a month. Just a month in the rear view at this point.
Before this all happened, I thought it was, you know, kind of a surreal feeling that, you know, to think about the world without sports, especially what we do, right? So I was just thinking, all right, there's just no way I can really fathom or wrap my brain around no sports, no golf, no baseball, no hockey, no hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're a few weeks into this, I kind of think about it. It's like it's going to be a surreal feeling just watching it again. Like when it all comes back, hopefully soon, sooner than later. But when it all comes back, it's just going to be a surreal feeling that we can actually turn on some live sports.
Just the anticipation that you're going to have for that, whatever that first event is going to be.
It's just weird.
It's just going to be massive, whether it's, you know, MLB kicking off or, you know, I don't think the NBA regular season will resume, but if they just jump right into the playoffs, the anticipation for that event is going to be just gigantic.
You know what they could do? I think they could pull this off. Now, you'd have no fans, but why couldn't you get Federer versus Nadal? Just have a one-off, right? You test them both for coronavirus.
Sure.
I guess you could have a couple of linesmen and an umpire, but you could probably do an exhibition tennis match with just a few people in the stadium, and then you set it up almost like a pay-per-view where everybody's watching it. Well, we would probably be dying for it. If you got Federer, Nadal, Djokovic, and I don't know, throw in somebody else.
My theme.
Well, they're talking about that with Phil and Tiger.
There you go.
Yeah, I saw some of that going back and forth.
Yep.
Anything live, we'll watch.
And possibly Brady and Peyton, too.
All right, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we got
you. There
now.
You go.
And who's crackling? Is that Cakes' mic that's crackling?
It might be. I was adjusting my settings earlier. I can turn it down a little bit now that I'm...
Wire. I think your wire has gone poop.
Yeah, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
It is what it is. What's up, Bick?
Yeah. Sorry, man. It's just disconcerting. Everything's all messed up today.
Yeah, we were just talking about EB, and maybe you can give your perspective on time, that I realized yesterday that exactly a month ago, I went to College Game Day at the University of Maryland at Comcast Center, and there was such excitement for the Terps at that point. First time Game Day was there in years. And then the next day, we all hopped on the bird to go to Nats spring training. And to me, that feels like 6 months ago.
That feels like a lifetime ago. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just kind of surreal as we're watching this thing unfold right before our eyes. Numbers just go through the roof. And yesterday, I'm sure you guys saw, Fauci did some of the TV stuff, and even Trump acknowledged in his presser yesterday that they think these numbers are going to hit, maybe 100,000 deaths.
Right.
Which is way off of the worst doom and gloom scenarios, which had like over 2 million. But to watch these numbers it took 21 days to get 1,000 deaths. Then it took like 3 days to get to 2,000. And then yesterday, I think it's about 500, so we're at 2,500. I mean, these next 2 weeks are going to be just devastating. Did you see the images of the truck where they were just rolling the bodies in New York? They're just body bags.
And they look like Italy.
Team Miller. It's just unbelievable. Just bringing them out of the hospital and putting them in the 18-wheeler, and it's just, it's just devastating. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and our lives have definitely changed. I mean, I just look forward to good weather, because good weather allows me to go outside and go for a run or go for a walk. If there's not good weather and I'm just stuck in the house, I know that you can binge things on TV, and we'll talk about some of those things. Ozark's available. Joe Exotic, everybody's into watching him on TV. But if there's not good weather, it really is challenging to get through a day.
Correct. Yeah. Luckily, yesterday was nice. Saturday wasn't horrible.
What's today's forecast, meteorologist?
I think pretty nice.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, it'll be solid today. But you're right, man. You got to be able to get outside. I did a 6 mile walk yesterday, and that killed.
6 mile walk? That's got to be.
That's an intense
minutes.
Walk.
Yeah, it was about an hour and a half. Yeah. But you just got to get out. You just got to get outside. You got to do something.
You're done. Stay active.
Now I will say, I know we're going to talk. Oh, she did like four. Which
hope
is
you had four bags.
I had four bags, buddy. Oh,
good.
But I did. I watched the entire 10 episodes of Ozark this weekend.
Oh, you did? You're done. You're through the season already.
I watched four on Saturday and six yesterday.
See, my wife and I were trying to ration the Ozark because it's so good.
It's so good. I couldn't stop.
Like last night, I watched Homeland, and then I went right into, I believe it was episode 5 of Ozark. And I kind of wanted to watch episode 6, but I said, you know what? Going to save it.
Oh, it's so good.
Need to savor this like a fine wine.
It's just, it's addicting. It really is. And the acting
is phenomenal.
So it can
last as long as it can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the difference in life. I couldn't even watch one. I could have watched one last night, maybe at like 10, but I was in scramble mode all weekend. Once Jess started vomiting, sanitized the bathroom, she's bedridden, we're checking her temperature every half hour, making sure she doesn't have corona symptoms.
So that's good.
The crazy thing is,
she hasn't had the fever yet, correct?
She hasn't had the fever, she didn't have a cough. I think that she's rebounding, but there's a chance I may have to duck out during the show because we don't know if she's going to be able to watch Isabella. She was feeling better last night.
You have to do.
And she didn't eat anything for 24 hours. She was finally able to eat a little something last night.
Well,
and she still
she
has her
better.
Taste and she has her smell, right? Didn't Rudy Gobert lose his smell and taste?
Yeah, he lost both. Usually when you just get the flu or you get a real bad cold, your sense of taste will kind of go away a little bit. You don't even feel like eating. But if you do eat, you can barely taste it. But to lose smell and taste, to lose two of the senses, Cakesy, that's difficult.
Yes, it's pretty bad. It's not a good thing to happen.
Yeah, so that's kind of the scary thing. None of us have had to deal with that until Saturday is if you just get a regular sickness, you're going to worry.
Absolutely. Of course you're going to think about that. Any little like tickle in your throat, any cough, even if you feel slightly warmer than normal, I start thinking, what, you know, did I contract it? Did I catch it by going to the store and somebody coughed and I got a droplet? You know, I'm in that sort of panic mode. I know it's shocking to hear.
Well, you know what Dina did? Dina has been making homemade masks. And,
right.
And now when you go to the grocery, there's at least half the people that are wearing masks, at least customers.
Yeah.
And they're saying more and more articles are coming out that we should be wearing masks. Like, this is just insane. Like, I understand you don't want to take it away from the healthcare workers, the frontline people. They need it most.
Mm-hmm.
But at a bare minimum, people should make their own sort of masks, and we should stop spreading it to each other. There's definitely going to be a, I don't care what it says, it's going to protect you a little bit, too. That's why the healthcare workers are wearing it, even though they have the you know, the snug-fitting ones. We should just be wearing masks. And we made one out of an old Wizards t-shirt. I got a blue mask. My son's got one.
Yeah, old Wizards t-shirt. I might want to put that under the black light before you make a mask out of it. Put it on your face.
You know, it's hard to find because I need to be 100% cotton. And I've gotten rid of all my 100% cotton stuff. And it's about
like that moisture wicking.
Yeah, that moisture wicking apparently is not good.
It's all polyester. Not right. Cotton.
I was talking to my neighbor.
Wants to break because our mics are just, something is not right.
Yeah, something's amiss with the broadcast so far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we gotta get it fixed. I don't know. Can you guys hear breaking up?
Your mic's clear.
When the three of us are on, it sounds okay. It's when we've added you into the mix that all of a sudden it sounds choppy.
Well, when I unplug my mic, we can problem solve together. I hear you guys all choppy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So try and fix it during the break.
I don't know. Okay, we'll try.
Bottom line is, we're live. Phone number, as always, if you want to chime in, is 800-636-1067. You can use that number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We're going to try and be your radio diversion. As I mentioned, J.P. Finley is going to join us coming up at 8 o'clock. We will talk about the latest with the Redskins. We're the Junkies coming to you live on The Fan. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, and you can watch us on NBC Sports Washington. I'm John Paul Flame in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Cakes is in Olney. EB is in Kensington. Jason in Ashburn, Virginia. At a minimum now, with the new guidelines, we'll be doing this show remotely for another month.
Oh, it's going to be months.
Yeah, I would imagine that it's going to be much longer than that, but that's the latest. They pushed the 15 days all the way back another month. So they want us to continue the social distancing, where hopefully they'll be able to flatten the curve.
If you look at the curve, it's still going straight up.
It seems very steep at this point, which is not good.
Terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were talking about what happened a month ago in terms of we were traveling to Florida and going to spring training. I saw just a graph of the deaths. I believe a month ago it was at 1.
Well, yeah, 21 days ago, or it took 21 days to get to 1,000. Then it took like 3 days to get to 2,000. And we'll get to 3,000 probably by late tonight, something like that. It's unbelievable. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And I know no one wants to hear that, but it is just, it's staggering.
I wanted to give Valdez a little credit. He started the theory that there are some who are clout chasing.
Yeah.
And I saw over the weekend the first clout chasing story. She's very hot. She's attractive. But Jamal Murray's girlfriend must be an absolute nightmare.
Mm.
Because he had the leaked video, sex tape video.
Which makes me think now that they leaked it on purpose.
Well, I think she did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to put this on Jamal Murray. He probably doesn't care. He's just tagging a hot chick, which he's probably been doing his whole life.
Yeah, but he doesn't want it out on the internet.
He probably doesn't want it on the internet. Although I haven't seen it. I'm guessing he's not ashamed of what he's packing.
I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it.
Valdez and I have seen it.
You've probably seen it multiple times.
Is he holding?
Oh,
I'm assuming he's an NBA baller.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a hockey stick down there. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right, so I'm sure he's not ashamed of what he's packing down there. Anyway, she released that sex tape, and then the latest, it's a little bit hard to follow the story. So she had a friend who I guess is in music. I don't know if he's a rapper, what his deal is. But she put out the story on her Instagram that he was dead from the coronavirus.
Right.
He, in fact, was alive and doesn't have coronavirus. But her theory was that if she put that out, people were going to start following him. And he would gain followers and he would gain clout.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't they eventually realize that he's still alive and not dead?
Well, I guess eventually, but she believes that the good outweighs the bad and that eventually he's going to get all these new followers and that's going to be better for him to pimp his music.
Big surprise.
But he got wind of it and he was like, what are you doing? I have family and friends and they think I'm dead now.
Surprising Jamal Murray is hanging out with a full-on psycho.
Right.
I mean, is anybody surprised by that?
So, Valdez, do you feel validated there that that's one of your first confirmed clout-chasing coronavirus stories?
Tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
We should say Cakes has corona to up the ratings for the show.
Right? It's not a bad thought.
It probably couldn't hurt.
I mean, JP's wife might.
It would grab headlines. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about my quarantine, by the way. So I sanitized the whole bathroom because she was just, you know, facing the porcelain god there for about an hour and a half. And it was just like yellow stuff coming out of it. We're like analyzing whether there's blood in there. Because I know, I think it was Amy Klobuchar's husband
coughing
was diagnosed with it. And he was like throwing up blood. So we're like looking at the vomit. It's just a disgusting thought.
It's tilting me.
But I was in there. And then I have contact with the rest of the family. If somebody gets it in your family, I think it's inevitable
you're all
going to get it.
I know
Cakes, I guess your son's out of quarantine, right?
He came up from the basement yesterday around noon.
Did you have a big party?
He emerged. Not a big party. But we were nice dinner.
Nice hug.
We definitely got Mama Lucia takeout for dinner as like a mini celebration.
Nice.
Didn't have to cook and, you know, support Mama Lucia in the process. So it was a win-win.
Right.
So it was good.
Was he thrilled to be out of there? Did he say he was going nuts?
Couldn't be happier.
Right.
I mean, just to be confined to one space for 2+ weeks, even though, I mean, he had all the creature comforts down there, but he just couldn't, like, his freedom was restricted. He couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
So, he's definitely happy to be up. So.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, we can't really go anywhere now other than the second and third floor.
That's true, but I mean,
well, at least he can sleep in his bed.
He can go out for a walk and stuff.
He could drive and like socially distance, hang out with his buddies if he wants to. I mean, he can do a few things.
Right.
My daughters have been Zooming.
Oh, they have?
In fact, my oldest, she had a Zoom meeting last night with all of her sorority sisters. There was like 70 of them on.
Very
on
nice.
Zoom.
Right. Who owns Zoom? Because they're one of the few
they're
companies
killing it.
That's making money. Here's who's making money.
I think Zoom owns Zoom.
Zoom is making money. Whoever makes Lysol and Clorox wipes and any sort of cleaner making money. Bread makers killing it, just crushing it, because every time you go to the store, half of the bread aisle is just empty
and Charmin.
Toilet paper, yeah.
Yeah.
Toilet paper and paper towels. Because people, I'm sure, they're upping their cleaning game in their house, trying to keep their surfaces clean and hygienic. All of those companies are making money.
The toilet paper thing, we've talked about it. You don't necessarily need more toilet paper in life, but I told this story on Saturday. So Jason and I did the show from 9 till noon. I believe Eric did it with Grant Paulson 9 to noon on Sunday.
Right.
I went to the grocery store at like 7:30 on Saturday before doing that show. And I picked up some toilet paper. Didn't necessarily need it, but everybody's getting it. We got like 9 rolls left. I have the thought of Cakes in my mind where Cakes said he was struggling with toilet paper at one point.
I was down to nubbins.
And so I pick up mine, and there's a guy who basically sprinted into the aisle and goes, oh, my God, thank goodness.
Right.
Dude, I was coming out
and you know, just had a little conversation with him. I was like, got it, huh? And he's like, I've been to 5 stores.
I came out of the Harris Teeter last week, and I didn't even have the holy grail of toilet paper. I had, I think, a 6-pack of paper towels, and I'm pushing my cart out of the store. Another woman's coming in. She goes, you have paper towels? I said, yeah, there's a few packs left. But, I mean, that's what it's coming down to in certain spots of the grocery store.
Right.
Sick.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that we're at this point.
Yeah. The thing you have to do is you talk to the cashier and you ask him when things come in. And they'll tell you.
I haven't done that.
Yeah, they'll tell you, oh, eggs come in 4 a.m., mm-hmm. the bread comes in at 2, and then you just got to go. You got to figure it out.
I know this is going to be long and extended. We're going to be hunkered down for a long time. But once this initial phase of coronavirus is through here, I'm going to not stockpile, but slowly build a reserve of, like, wipes, toilet paper, just the essentials, the non-perishable essentials that everybody's making a run on at this point.
You mean for the next go-around, for the next wave?
Yeah, this is going to happen again. This is going to happen again at some point.
You're building your bunker.
Yeah, I'm going to build, not necessarily build the bunker, but I'll have some supplies on hand.
No, it's going to happen again in, like, September, October.
Right.
That's why when Kirk Herbstreit said he doesn't see how they can have a college season or even an NFL season, I happen to agree with him.
Right.
Unless I'm starting to think that way, too.
Unless something drastic happens. Because there's just no way you're going to be able to do this. We talked about it yesterday, actually, with Grant, that even the NBA, the only way you could do this is, even if all the players are tested and clean, you have to quarantine them from their families and the rest of the real world, because otherwise they could constantly be reinfected. You know what I mean?
That's what my tennis theory, I didn't know that Tiger and Phil were talking about playing, but if we need some sports, I think tennis could work. No fans, you get... Maybe just a tournament of four donks.
No, you can.
Four guys.
But the problem is, that'll work for that one little tournament.
Correct.
But then they go back out into society, and then you're potentially getting reinfected all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and fam, it's nutty.
Well, that's why the Big Three, Ice Cube's 3-on-3 basketball league, they're like working with Big Brother. They're going to have like a Big Brother house where all of the people are clean from coronavirus. They basically live together for a couple weeks, and they put on some basketball games.
That's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it.
People are clean from coronavirus. They basically live together for a couple weeks, and they put on some basketball games.
That's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it.
Well, what about just fans, if they do come in to watch these events, they have to provide some sort of documentation that they've been tested and they're negative.
That's fine. But, Jason, as soon as the player goes back to his family...
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, and their family's going grocery shopping.
Right.
And, you know, everyone's potentially being infected. You know what I mean?
Did you guys see the idea on ProFootballTalk.com that was floated? I think it was floated to an NFL GM or by an NFL GM where they were going to – where they bring every team and put them in one central location and they just play the entire season from that spot.
Yeah.
You house all the players at the same spot. You make sure they're all clean. Just to preserve the television money.
Right. Because
they don't care that much about the live gate, how many people are in
Correct.
The stand. They get the goose that's laying the golden egg is the TV contract.
But the problem is, the players are not going to agree to leave their families for months at a time. They're not going to do that.
If they want to get paid, they might. If that's the only way
they get
paid.
Those guys are so G'd up.
Well, the top level guys are, the rank and file guys are not.
Well, you might get a portion of the league to do it, but you're right. There's no way LeBron's doing it.
LeBron's not going to leave his family for months at a time.
NFL, not NBA.
Talking about NFL.
Oh, okay.
NFL,
well,
yeah, still, that's a big.
I don't think you're going to get Aaron Rodgers to. Well, he doesn't have kids, but
you're probably not. And it's a wacky idea, and it's far fetched.
No, but you need to start thinking outside the box.
That's how you close the loopholes. Yeah, it's the only way you can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Eric's right. The only way you can play is if there's some sort of a shot or a pill that cures it. If this is still going on in the fall, you're not going to have any sports. Zero.
Yeah, I don't see how you can.
I know that all of these commissioners are weighing all the different options. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's brutal. It is just absolutely brutal. Now, I know people are poo-pooing all of the things, but there is a doctor in New York that is prescribing the hydroxychloroquine, the zinc, and the erythromycin, whatever it is, the Z-Pak, and he claims he's treated 650 people, and he's had 2 hospitalizations. 0 deaths, 2 hospitalizations out of 650. So... Hopefully,
did the CDC confirm that? The White House confirmed
I don't know that it's been confirmed yet, but I saw him interviewed, and he's been prescribing it since last Tuesday or whatever. So he had like 9 days at the time of the interview. And I guess the hydroxychloroquine or whatever, it allows zinc. Apparently, zinc is a big key into some of this thing to get into your body and stop this or attack this in a way. You know, zinc has been linked to helping shorten the duration of the common cold. In fact, if you try to get some coldies right now, you might be hard-pressed to find coldies because people are on to zinc.
Yeah, people are trying anything.
Didn't know zinc was so important, but apparently it is.
Very important.
Well, that's the only way that this is going to get back to normal. Life's going to get back to normal is if there's some sort of treatment that some doctor comes up with that works.
Yeah.
If that's working, then
that's widespread available.
And it's available, exactly. So that's the only way that life gets back to normal.
Yeah. We're at the mercy of our researchers.
The way I feel, my gut is, Eric Wright, I don't think I'm going to see you people face-to-face until at the earliest September.
Maybe like 2021.
It could be extended. It could be really, really extended.
Yeah. And I really feel bad for the businesses. I know we're going to talk to Brett on Wednesday, who's in the restaurant business, owns Sup Dogs. Definitely support him. Vote for Sup Dogs for best bar, Barstool Bar, College Bar. But I talked to Farley yesterday just via text, and he owns Pacers Running Store. I mean, he said that this is usually their busiest time of the year, and they're just getting crushed.
Is he? He does.
And think about all the people that are outside
too,
running.
Right?
Yeah, he's got the online business going.
That can maybe keep him afloat, I would hope.
He told me, I don't know if he wants to be saying, I said maybe we can get him on to kind of give the business perspective, but he's got 5 or 6 running stores, including one in New Jersey. The race business was part of his business, but he said overall 70% down.
Yeah, yeah. I can't
imagine. And we had Jason's buddy Matt Carlin from Circa on the show on Saturday, and I think he's like 90% down.
Yeah.
Well, that's across the country. Every place is 90% down.
And he was just talking about the seasonal aspects. When he came on the show, he was talking about right now they would be ramping up with Nationals season, Final Four.
March Madness,
everything that's going on. Like, they would really be killing it right now, and instead – they've got occasional takeout.
I mean, do you know how packed their patios and outdoor seating would be? Mm-hmm. Like on a day like yesterday, or if today's like 65 or 70, whatever the temps are.
Just getting crushed.
They would be printing money, and now none of that money's coming in.
We ordered out on Saturday from Bonefish right here in Ashburn. My man Bab is the GM, and he wanted everyone to know, look, we're still open for carryout, curbside. Right. But anyway, so I went, I ordered over the phone, went and picked it up. And it was just sad to walk into the restaurant. All the stools are on top of the tables. The stools are on top of the bars. You know, you've got, you know, 3 or 4 servers kind of running the food from the kitchen to the front in bags. Phones ringing off the hook.
Right.
I mean, everyone's ordering because no one wants to sit in and cook. They want something different. But it's just sad to walk into these places and just see how much, how different it is. It's just desolate.
I mean, you don't want to do that. You don't want to order from a restaurant every single day, but you should mix that in to try to help keep these places.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, right.
If you're worried about it, you know, like, just go buy gift cards. That can help keep them afloat, too.
Definitely.
I don't know how all these places are going to survive. I talk about my neighborhood, but I also live walking distance from the Rio Lakefront. And I went there. I go there a couple times a day, basically, when there's good weather, to just go for a walk around the lake. And there are restaurants. The one which gets me, so there's an Uncle Julio's there. And Uncle Julio's normally is just absolutely killing. I don't think you ever walk into an Uncle Julio's and it's not packed, right? But right across from Uncle Julio's, they had started construction on a new restaurant.
Right. Mm.
Could you talk about worse timing?
Oh, that has to be shuttered, you would think.
I don't know.
They've had, last week, they had construction people. They're putting up the beams and everything.
Contract's probably already signed.
Maybe they just want to be prepared, hopefully, when they can reopen.
Here's the thing. I heard the guy from, what is the Bar Rescue or whatever? I heard him on an interview.
John Taffer.
Yeah, and he thinks, you know, like, I mean, restaurants and bars forever are going to be changed. And he said specifically he actually thinks movie theaters are going to be changed forever because who's going to want to go in large groups ever again?
Well, that's what we were talking to Kevin last week, remember?
Yeah.
I said even if the government and the CDC and the WHO say, all right, it's done, it's never coming back, people are still going to have it in their minds that they can catch something if they go into these places with, you know, a bunch of people, 150 people.
So the guy, John Tapper, said that that some of the movie theater guys that own these big theaters are already talking about ripping out a ton of seats and just putting them together in like 2 at a time, 4 at a time, and spreading them out.
Like pods.
And then just way upping the food service and trying to make up their revenue that way. But the days of, this is just a theory, and it's just what they're kicking around, but the days of 500 people all, you know, in there like sardines, like that's behind us. Yeah. We're not going to see that anymore. And then you think about going to games. I mean, are 20,000 Caps fans going to all want to sit on top of each other in the future? You know?
I mean, I just don't know how you change that that seating system, but you know, maybe something does happen down the line where you spread the fans out a little bit more than they are, because
you have 10,000 instead of 20.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's going to crush the owners. I mean, you're cutting your capacity in half, especially in a place like Capital One, where for the Caps you're getting sellouts every night.
Yeah.
So then you're cutting your bottom line in half at that point, if that's the case.
Well, off of that revenue. But again, right. The TV revenue is what where they're really making a killing.
Right.
No, the only way you're going to be able to get back to normal, like I said, and we'll say it a million times, if someone feels sick and they have corona, okay, go to the doctor and the Z-Pack works, or there's a pill that works. Something that works that will kill it within 6 days. Right. If it doesn't, and you're just going to keep spreading it, nothing will work.
See, the reason why they think this hydroxychloroquine and the zinc little combination, and then the Z-Pack is for the secondary infection that comes in, right? Because Z-Packs and antibiotics do nothing to viruses. Right, but what kills people with the corona is they get the secondary pneumonia. And then those infections. And I guess the theory behind the Z-Pack is that can help stem that.
Yeah, well, they got to come up with something.
Yeah. There's a bunch of drugs out there that are showing promise. We just need to just get them out there. Let the docs use them.
All right, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington. He will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll give you the latest Redskins news as they continue to tweak their secondary. Although, as Jason and I were saying on Saturday, the theme of the Redskins is bargain basement hunting. That's basically what they do. They're discount shopping. Even though they have a lot of salary cap space, they're saving that for
whatever
reason.
They're going to TJ Maxx.
They're keeping their powder dry. There's that a saying for you guys again.
Yes. All right, so we'll do that coming up at 8 o'clock where the Junkies come to you live this Monday morning on The Fan.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live this Monday morning on The Fan. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop, all coming to you remotely. We've got J.P. Finley from NBC Sports Washington joining us at 8 o'clock to give us the latest on the Redskins. I got to tell you, the thing which irks me the most about this, I mean, time does seem to crawl, and things that were fun that we were doing just a month ago feel like 6 months ago. Is when I see the shots of different places where they're doing none of the social distancing.
Right.
So it's not a lot, but some of the mega churches in the country still had services. There was one in Ohio. Apparently they got 3,500 members. They tried their best, but they had a ton of people on top of each other. I think one in Louisiana. Louisiana's become a hot spot.
Yeah.
That same church, which caught a lot of heat, they apparently had half the congregants that they had the week before. It was still 550. And then you see shots of some farmers markets. Farmers markets. People on top of each other.
Farmers markets. Well, here, let me just say this. Farmers markets should never be crowded. Here's why. what are you going to go buy some beads from some hippie that's making them out of their basement, or like organic honey? Like, a farmers market should never be crowded, ever. Especially in these times. And
don't they have fruits and vegetables at farmers markets?
Yeah, I mean, they've got... But trust me, I mean, I've been to a few. They're not worth risking your life over, certainly.
Oh, of course not.
So stay away from those.
I went to one in Blacksburg. They have a pretty popular one there right near the campus, and I got a slice of pizza.
Right. We have one in Kensington.
That's what I got.
And Dee went. She went on Saturday morning. I mean, there were
what was the crowd?
I mean, there weren't a ton. I don't know. I think one or two people in line, but I mean, there were people there. I mean, people getting their fruits and vegetables. There's this one lady that makes these amazing Belgian waffles that the kids like to get.
See?
Yeah, I was at the grocery store
yesterday.
It's not
all beads.
And I was trying to keep 5 to 6 feet, you know, between myself and the closest person. But I saw a group of, it looked to be teenagers, just all walking together. Couldn't have been closer, all within about a foot of each other.
Yeah.
Not caring, not paying attention.
Aren't you tempted to say something?
I was tempted, but yesterday. Then I was like, I'm not going to cause, am I really going to cause a scene here in the middle of the Harris Teeter?
Kid's going to say, okay, boomer.
Right, right.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. So I just, you know, I got what I needed and I left.
But life is weird. So I went for a run, I guess it was yesterday, and I saw this guy limping and I recognized the limp. It was a guy that I played basketball with for years. A little bit older than us, and I saw the limp, and I was like, I hadn't seen him in probably 5 years, but I recognized his walk, and so I stopped, talked to him. I mean, normally, I probably would have given him a hug, would have, like, shook his hand. I would have talked for a while, and, like, we just exchanged a few words, and then I was like, hey, I would normally give you a handshake, but gotta roll. Yeah.
No, I'm running through the neighborhood, and there's a ton of people out walking their dogs and running, right? Jason's been talking about that, and it's very true, especially on the weekend. I mean, my God, it was a circus outside. And people are, I mean, they're really walking away from it. And friends that I have that I would normally totally stop and talk to, I'm just blowing by them and waving and saying, this is
awful.
That's
all you get. That's all you get at this point.
I'm just running by people and I'm going, this is awful. This is so bad.
Hey, it's just what it is. That's the new reality that we're stuck in at this point.
Yeah. But there are some that aren't listening, like the donk in Charles County that had the party of over 50 people.
Well, he might be the worst person on the planet.
Well, look at him.
His name is Sean Marshall Myers. He's 41 years old, and he was arrested after refusing multiple orders to disperse his crowd of 60 people at his Hughesville home. And that was according to the Charles County Sheriff's Office. But then you do a little bit more digging, and I didn't realize this until later after I saw the initial story. He was involved in the murder of our former intern, Christopher Mader.
Oh, right. He was?
Yes.
He actually was charged with murder, and then he flipped on his conspirator or whatever and testified against him, and so he got a 15-year suspended sentence.
He flipped on the shooter.
Yeah. 5 years probation. So, he got completely hooked.
I mean, he's just human garbage.
He's just a loser, right?
He's
a
scumbag is what he is.
Yeah. Garbage.
He looks
absolute
like it. I could
garbage.
Tell by his mugshot that he was garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was shocking when I saw that too, Cakes.
I mean, he is just a terrible human being.
Correct. Terrible. Now, hopefully he's still in the poke. Is he still?
I don't think there was any bail allowed for him for the last time I saw him.
Oh, really? He's a menace to society.
He's clearly a menace, yes.
Keep him in jail.
If he were in jail for 50 years, I would have no problem with it.
Yeah, he clearly can't follow the law.
And can you imagine the types of people who he hangs out with?
Yeah, guys are the worst people.
Yeah. They're the worst 60 people. It was the worst bonfire in the world.
They all should have been charged, too. For being stupid.
Where is Charles Kent? Where is that?
That's like Waldorf.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I don't know where Hughesville is. I'm guessing it's near Waldorf somewhere.
It's way down there.
Right. Well, I bet all the locals know him.
I'm sure they do.
Right?
I mean, what 41-year-old man that's not in a rock band has blue hair? I mean, it's just not a good look.
Right.
It's so a terrible look, actually.
It's so dumb. The whole thing, it's just bizarre. So what did I do this weekend? So I went for a run. My wife was homemaking masks. I did a 6 a.m. grocery run for my mom and for my in-laws.
How many people were there?
You know what? It was fine. There weren't that many people there at all. I got there like at 6:10. But the problem is because there are so few people there, they're only employing one checkout person. So even though, say, there are only 15 people in the entire Safeway, when you have to check out, there's 10 to 12 people in line.
Oh.
Now, they were spreading us out, and everybody was naturally doing it. But to get checked out took like 25, 30 minutes. And now I've learned, don't bring your phone in when you go shopping or something, right? Just leave it because you don't want the temptation of touching it. And then, you know, God only knows what you're putting on your phone, right?
You didn't wipe down the groceries afterwards, did you?
I did.
I know that you're supposed to.
No, I wiped my cart before I got there. I wiped it down for a minute. And there was a guy waiting behind me with his wipes. And I said, I'm sorry. He says, no, I'm about to do the same thing. I wiped it down for a full minute. And then did all my shopping. Didn't bring my phone or anything. I actually wore gloves the last two times.
Yeah.
I saw people wearing masks, and I was thinking to myself, I'm going to wear a mask next time. And then when I got home, I took everything out, and I wiped my bananas.
Did you?
Wow.
That must have taken you like 45 minutes.
It took about 20 minutes. I wiped my cereal box, wiped it all down, took it out of the box and put the wrapper, you know, in there. Look, if I got granola bars, I wiped the box down. Then when I brought it in, I took it out of the box and put the bars in a drawer. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. We have fruit and vegetable cleaner that we got from Trader Joe's that we rarely use, that we use now to clean the vegetables and the fruits and the avocados.
Well, look, you're next level. I know. If I get it from the grocery store, then, you know, whatever. Just sanitizing that bathroom after my wife was vomiting took forever. I couldn't imagine doing it to all the groceries that I bought.
Right. Well, but here's what you have to take into consideration is that you may be mindful of not touching groceries and putting them back on the shelf, but not everybody is.
I understand
you
that.
You just don't know who's touched what in
I
the grocery store.
I just wash my hands immediately after I go to the grocery store.
Which is smart. But if you're bringing in infected boxes, you know what I mean? And it's not even – no one's doing it maliciously. People don't know they're sick. The people that are delivering it.
You gotta grab from the back of the shelf.
Oh.
That's one thing that helps.
That could help.
I thought of that.
Any loaf of bread, just dig deep.
Yeah, but the loaf of bread has only been there for maybe no customers.
Yeah, but don't you have to move the boxes and stuff that are in front of the stuff in the back of the rack?
You slide your arm through there.
Yeah. Somebody in the supply chain could have had the wrong.
Exactly. The person that's delivering it is wearing gloves and spreading all the germs everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like, when I gave it to my mom, I stood at the front of her door, and I wiped everything down before I handed it to her, and I put it on her floor, and then she was taking it into her house.
Right.
So I did the same thing for mom. I wiped all her food down. It's the craziest thing ever.
I will say, though,
I'm gonna run out of
that
wipes.
Kills a bunch of time, because all we're doing all day is
looking for
things to do to pass time.
Right. It's true.
That's a terrible way to live.
It's a terrible way to live. They gotta cure this. But I think we're months and months and months away, and I don't have the heart to tell my kids. I didn't even bother to tell them that sort of the national sort of quarantine kind of shutdown is at least another 30 days. I didn't even have the heart to tell them. I just didn't tell them.
Well, wouldn't they be aware of it from the news? They all got phones.
Yeah, they're not really. They're trying not, you know, they're trying to mostly just connect with their friends. They're not trying to watch the news.
Trying to get the latest on the corona.
Yeah. By the way, my daughter has one of her midterms today, so this is the first of the exams, which theoretically is not supposed to be open book.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, my son said he's going to get a 4.0 this semester.
Yeah. Right. I mean, even like the high school, my daughter's school, Briar Woods, they're not even grading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they're giving assignments.
Is
online
it pass fail? Are they doing pass fail?
Not really. They're just not grading. They just expect you to do something. They want you to read. They want you to do these online assignments, but they're not actually grading them.
I think everybody's doing pass at this point.
Yeah, it's not a pass fail. It's a pass. Exactly.
It's not even comparable. Now my son is in seventh grade, and they get homework packets, I guess. He spends about 5 or 10 minutes and he's done. He normally would be in school, what, 6-7 hours? So 7 hours is distilled into 5 or 10 minutes?
Hmm.
Yeah. How can you learn that way?
Yeah, oh,
you
man,
can't.
It's a joke.
You can't.
It's an absolute joke.
College, I think it's different. Like, she's studying for hours and hours and taking notes. And I don't think that's not a joke.
I think the tests are going to be a joke.
Well, this one, she was saying, she kept calling her professor a narc, that he's checking on Zoom, and he'll peer in to see what they're doing.
Right, right. If they do that, that's good. That will curb it. If they make everybody that takes the test sign in on Zoom, and then they could just kind of monitor, although you could very easily, out of the distance of the computer camera, have all your notes. I mean, obviously, there's a workaround for everything.
What about the good old days where you could just put the answers inside your hollowed-out desk and then lean back in your chair and look? I got caught doing that.
Yeah, it was bad. Or just write down stuff on your hand.
I've done that, too.
Or, in your calculator. They got hip to that.
Yeah. I know what Casey's favorite move, though, was at Roosevelt. What was your favorite move at Roosevelt?
My favorite mover.
Oh, look at the on. Asian guy.
That's exactly angles and sines and cosines. How would I know anything about that?
All right. Got to take a break. We are coming to you live this Monday morning. Phone number if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies on the Fan.